Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you going?
Good morning. I'm good.
That's the way. Now, the omnibus bill is saving billions with a B of dollars worth of saving measures in it. How important is it to bring us economic stability?
Well, I mean, economic stability is important. It is also very important to note that a budget deficit by itself is not necessarily a bad thing. The budget will usually go into deficit when the economy grows slowly, which is what it's doing right now. So the objective shouldn't be to immediately get rid of the deficit, to immediately repair the budget, as they call it. Mm. Rather, we should be looking at, over the long term, reducing the deficit. And when the economy grows, goes back into a sort of a high growth phase, then to begin to run a surplus. So while it's, you know, over the long run, it's good to balance the budget, it's certainly not good to balance the budget every year.
Right. Why would you not want to get it sort of straightened out straight away?
Well, that's because you can reduce the budget deficit in two ways. You can reduce spending or you can increase taxes. Now, if you reduce spending, then the government's taking demand directly out of the economy. They're basically spending less money, which will contract the economy.
Right.
And if they increase taxes, they're taking more private money out of the economy, which will also contract the economy.
Right.
And so therefore, if the economy is growing slowly, the last thing you want to do is to further contract the economy.
Mm. No, fair enough. And one of the cuts proposed in the bill is the energy supplement that the people on Newstart receive. It was introduced in 2013 as a compensation for the carbon tax. Is it fair to pursue welfare cuts that will save $1.3 billion over 4 years from some of the poorest in our society, whilst also cutting company taxes and income for people earning over 80 grand?
Well, that's exactly right. So if the government wants to reduce the deficit, then if they want to just target the lowest income people, firstly, that's not good in a social sense, but it's also not good in an economic sense. As I said, the economy is growing slowly. If you give money to low-income people, they will pretty much always spend all of it. If you give income to high-income people, they're far more likely to save it. So you will actually get more demand giving money to low-income earners, as they will spend it all and it'll increase demand in the economy, than to give it to high-income earners. So cutting carbon compensation or cutting the dole or Newstart is actually a bad economic way, as well as a bad socially.
Right, okay. The Federal Treasurer, Scott Morrison, spoke last week saying that there are taxed and taxed knots. Is it a fair assessment of the Australian economy that too many Australians aren't paying tax?
Well, this is actually quite a strange thing to say, and it kind of harks back to hockey's lifters and leaners, which got him in sort of so much trouble and ended up really costing him his job when he introduced the 2014 budget to try and back that up. The first thing is that he's wrong to say that there are a heap of Australians who never pay tax throughout their life or in net terms get more in benefits than they do in paying in tax. 50% of the money spent on social welfare actually goes to pensioners. Now, pensioners, all right, they spend their whole life paying tax and then they expect to be looked after in retirement. Are these the tax knots that the government's talking about?
Mm.
Another 25% goes in parenting payments and childcare benefits. So obviously childcare benefits are for people who are out there working, parents out there working, and obviously paying tax. So 75% of it, of welfare payments, go to people who pay tax.
Right.
Over our life, when people are single or a couple without kids, they will pay more tax than they receive in benefits.
Right.
People with kids will tend to pay about even, so that how much they pay in tax on average, they get back in benefits, and older people pay far less tax than they get in benefits. Mm. So it's really to do with where you are in your life cycle more than to say, well, people over their entire life don't pay tax.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. Now, most politicians have said that the budget deficit is at crisis level. Is this accurate or is it just a bit of fear-mongering?
No, this is purely fear-mongering. You'd be hard-pressed to find any economist anywhere who would describe as a budget crisis. The budget is not in crisis. The budget's doing what it's supposed to do. We have a small deficit relative to our history. We have a small deficit relative to other first-world countries. We have small debt relative to our history, our economic history, and we have small debt relative to other countries. We're a low tax country with a small deficit and low government debt.
Right, that's interesting. So is repairing the deficit one of our biggest economic challenges?
Getting the economy to grow and generate the income to pay for the services that we want is our biggest economic objective, or should be our biggest economic objective at the moment. Certainly, slashing and burning the budget, it shouldn't be an economic objective at all.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, economist, Yanis Varoufakis, former Greek finance minister and economist professor, said that Australia needs to focus less on public sector debt and handle our private sector debt. Can you explain a bit about the difference between public and private debt?
Sure. So public debt is just when the government goes into debt, whether that's to build infrastructure or pay for services. Whereas private sector debt is you and me. If we go out and get a car loan or buy a house or, you know, put something on the credit card, that's all private sector debt. So the government's obviously responsible for government debt, and then the private sector, or whoever takes out the debt in the private sector, is responsible for that debt.
Does private debt have any sort of impact on the debt of the country or the public debt?
Private debt doesn't really have any impact on public debt. The government is never liable. If I default on my mortgage or I don't pay my credit card, that doesn't affect the government in any way. That has implications for me, but it certainly doesn't have implications for the government.
Right. And
Keep going.
I was going to ask, is the assessment correct in that instance for
Well, sometimes when private sector debt gets very large, what it means is that the private sector, or, you know, the general public, are spending a lot more money focusing on having to pay that off that debt, and so therefore they're spending less on other things that generate employment and growth. And so at some point the government might be concerned about this, but really private sector debt is a matter for banks and private individuals. If the banks are comfortable to lend to people and people are comfortable in paying it back, then absolutely, there's probably not any particular problem with that. And it also depends on the type of debt it is. So, I mean, if businesses are out there borrowing to produce income, producing assets, so they're expanding their business, they're growing their business, they're employing more people, this kind of debt, it shouldn't be of any real concern at all.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Well, thank you, Matt, for joining us today on The Daily, giving us to think about. Thanks very much. That was Matt Grundoff there, senior economist at Canberra-based think tank, the Australia Institute.